Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for the week of Sunday, the 19th of October, 2008. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we had a special guest speaker, the Reverend Ken McGreedy. Ken's been in ministry for over 35 years and still goes around preaching at churches and leading conferences. He spoke on being a partner of heaven, and the reading is Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to chapter 10 verse 5. Sadly, Ken's just getting over a chest infection, so there are a few loud coughs during the sermon, so I hope that doesn't blow your ears up too much, so you have been warned. So we'll go and join Ken as he's starting the sermon.
First of all, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's a real pleasure and privilege for Hazel and I to be here. Some of you know we came down on the Friday, spent some time with the leadership team on Friday and Saturday morning, and then did some seminars yesterday afternoon. Now, before I read from the scripture and bring what Lord's put on my heart this morning, I must make reference to that photograph that you saw. Not so much make reference to it. You need to understand the look on our faces. It was taken somewhere in the wilds of Yorkshire. And if you know what the weather can be like over there, it explains the looks on our faces. But it can only have been Mr. Denman who uncovered that. And we are staying with Janet and Ken. And all I want to say is that Janet's hospitality is absolutely magnificent. And what I'd like to say about Ken is this, that perhaps the best phrase, if I explain it this way, you see, one of my favourite stories is about, this is not Ken, by the way, it's the phrase at the end. One of my favourite stories is about a pastor who was a really wonderful pastor, and once a month in their area, they would have a joint celebration for the churches, and he would lead it. The only problem was, it was wonderful in every way, led the services great until it came time to introduce the preacher. And he would spend longer introducing the preacher than he would give the preacher time to preach. And this went on for a while, and the other ministers so loved him that they didn't want to say anything to him. And so they had a confab and said, you know, how can we deal with this? Being typical men, they decided to ask his wife if she would have a word with him. And they sent somebody and they had a word with the wife, and she agreed and she said, leave it to me. So with bated breath, they came to the next celebration. He led it beautifully as he normally did. And then they came to introduce the speaker. And he introduced the speaker like this. Our speaker today is the Reverend Kenneth Denman. My wife tells me the less I say about him, the better. So here he is. So as for Janet, her hospitality is magnificent. If you've got your Bibles, perhaps you'd like to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. Read to you some very familiar verses. I'm going to read from verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. The names of the 12 apostles are these, and we have their names. Down to verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. Now, you know that the Gospel of Matthew is called the Gospel of the Kingdom because the word kingdom comes at least 50 times in the Gospel of Matthew. But actually, Matthew's favorite phrase for the kingdom that comes 34 times out of those 50 is a phrase, the kingdom of the heavens. Normally, it's just translated in the singular, the kingdom of heaven. But it's literally the kingdom of the heavens. And so that phrase doesn't come in Mark, it doesn't come in Luke, it doesn't come in John. They will speak of the kingdom or the kingdom of God. But Matthew's favorite phrase for the kingdom is the kingdom of the heavens. And I wonder why it is his favorite phrase. And I think his answer would be something like that. This, you know how the Lord's Prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That I believe that for Matthew, when we pray, your kingdom come, what we're praying for is this. It's an invasion of heaven to take place upon the earth. And I don't know about you, but I would love to see more outbreaks of heaven upon the earth. And I don't know if you know some families that need more of an outbreak of heaven in them, or some streets that need more of an outbreak of heaven in them, or some cities that need more of an outbreak of heaven in them, or maybe we today need more of an outbreak of heaven in us. But that was Matthew's passion, that in our Lord Jesus, the coming of the kingdom of the heavens, that in our Lord Jesus, heaven comes to earth. And I'm sure you, like me, know lives and places and circumstances, situations where there is a need of more of heaven's love or heaven's forgiveness or heaven's mercy or heaven's grace or heaven's peace or heaven's healing. And these verses are significant in Matthew because up to now, the disciples, they have watched the Lord Jesus minister. But now he calls them to participate with him in being instruments through which heaven, the kingdom of God, comes to this earth. And so I want to share a little bit this morning, just ever so briefly, about being heaven's partners through which the kingdom of heaven might come to earth and touch the world and the people around us. Now, you won't believe it, having heard me preach, but many years ago I was at Bible college and they tried to teach us how to preach. And I remember one thing. You'll discover I've forgotten many things, but I remember one thing. Do you know what they said to us? They said, one of the things you've got to do is try and find the level of your congregation and then pitch what you've got to say to the level of the congregation. Having got to know some of you, I just want to be really simple for the rest of the morning. I come from Yorkshire. When we like people, we insult them for a few minutes and then we all feel good. There are three things. There is one thing and three things about it that I want to share with you that is a key in this story. And it's about Jesus calling these people to prayer. And there are three things about the prayer of the Lord Jesus, because one of the ways that we partner with heaven to see the kingdom of God come upon the earth, one of the ways, of course, we all know is through prayer. And I just want to share with you three things about Jesus engaging here the disciples in prayer. And the first thing is this. Have you noticed that it says he had compassion and then he called them to pray? And the first thing is this, that the foundation of this intercession and this story was the compassion of Jesus. And the first thing I want to say to you this morning is just simply this. It's, we need to learn more how to have heaven's love invade our prayers. Let me say it for you again. We need to learn more about how to have heaven's love invade our prayers. We all know the difference between human love and divine love. It's wonderfully illustrated in the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember how the disciples looked up and they were concerned about the crowd and said, they've got nothing to eat. Send them away. Human love, they wanted the situation dealt with. They saw the situation, they wanted it dealt with. They didn't feel adequate to deal with it. Send them away. Jesus, it says, filled with compassion, said, you give them something to eat. Human love runs out. Human love often feels desperate. Divine love never runs out, hallelujah, and divine love has got faith in it. And how much we need heaven's love to invade our prayers with a love that never runs out and with a love that's got faith in it. Faith works by love. You remember that Paul said in Galatians. And so I want to encourage you that when you come to pray about people or circumstances or family or loved ones or ministry or whatever realm it is, that one of the first things to do is this. It's simply to say, Heavenly Father, will you invade my prayers with your love so that they move out of the realm of human love into the realm of divine love. They move out of the realm of desperation or hope into the realm of faith. One of my favorite characters in history is a man called William Bushnell, and he was in the middle of the 1800s, and he ministered up in Yorkshire and around the north. And he went to places that folk would use the language of the evangelist graveyard. And they would say these places other evangelists had been and nothing had happened. But wherever he went, he saw many people come to know and love Jesus. And I was intrigued with his story. And I was reading through his diaries on one occasion. And this is what he said. He said, when I go to a place, I get a lodging. And then he said, I pray for the people and the place where I am. And he said, this is what I do. I pray that I'll be gripped with the love of Jesus for the people and the place. And then he said, I felt until I'd wept over them, I had no right to minister to them. And wherever he went, there was an outbreak of people coming to know and love Jesus. He'd learned a secret. The secret of his success was that his prayers had become invaded with the love of Jesus, so that whoever he ministered to and whatever place he was in, he was there, and his qualification was the love of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, would you help us to bring our prayers onto that level? And I could give you many stories about it, but on one occasion when I was first learning these things, I'd organized a conference, and we heard from two of our friends that two of our close friends who lived in another city, they weren't coming. They were having a difficult time, and they weren't going to come because they were just struggling so much. And one day I'd heard this, and I was driving off in my car, and I was praying for them. And it was one of the first times in my experience that suddenly as I was praying for them, the love of Jesus overtook me. And I was no longer praying for them out of my love, but his love. And as I prayed for them with his love, suddenly tears pouring down my face. I needed windscreen wipers on my glasses, you know, not on the car. And I just lifted them to Jesus with his love. A couple of days later, we were at the conference, and Hazel and I were hosting it. And we were greeting people, and we looked up, and there are our two friends who aren't supposed to, you know, be coming to the conference because they're struggling. The ones I'd just been praying for. And we give them a hug and we say, hi, you know, it's just so lovely to see you, but we'd heard you weren't doing so good and you weren't coming. What happened? And they said, well, we have been struggling and we weren't going to come, but a couple of days ago, we don't understand what happened, but just something lifted from our hearts and from our spirits. You see, prayers that are conceived by the love of Jesus, bathed in the love of Jesus, they are powerful. And now it is my practice, day by day and week by week, to ask the other way around. Lord Jesus, will you fill my heart with your love so that it might direct my prayers? And so a little while ago, I was praying that, and a friend of ours who lives in another nation that we don't see very often, he just filled my heart. And I was praying for him and praying for him, and the Lord didn't give me any revelation, but, you know, the passion to pray for him became so strong and the burden so strong out of the love of Jesus that in the end I said to Hazel, you just ring them up and see what's going on because something's going on. And she rang them up, and we couldn't get through. And at the end of the week we managed to get through, and we discovered he'd been in hospital for an operation. Supposed to be minor, but it all went wrong, and he ended up having a blood transfusion and all of those kind of things. And through that period of his suffering and everything going wrong, was the Lord, by his love, had recruited me to pray. One of the ways that we partner with heaven in the scene of the kingdom come is that we ask that the love of Jesus would first of all invade our hearts, that it might guide, direct, bathe, form, and found our prayers. The second thing I want you to notice about this prayer of the Lord Jesus was, first of all, it was founded on compassion was the motivation for it. But the second thing I want you to notice is about the idea of revelation, not just compassion, but revelation. And what I mean by revelation is, have you noticed what Jesus told them to pray? Now, as I explained to the folk yesterday, that my ministry began with Youth for Christ. And so in my life, I've done many, many missions and led many, many missions and outreaches and evangelism programs and so on. And you always have a team and you pray with a team, and some mornings we'd have team times and all the rest of it. Excuse me. And I've been in many prayer times. And we pray, you know, you pray for all sorts of things. You pray for some of the people that you meet, and you pray that the Lord will anoint us and that he'll convict them and all of those kind of things. Now, in this story, notice what Jesus told the disciples to pray. He told them to pray two things. He said, first of all, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This isn't my message this morning, but notice when Jesus looked out, he saw hard harvest, not hardness. Lord, will you give us harvest eyes? Help us to see those who are ready for the kingdom. That's not my message, so I'd better move on. Well, get stuck on the wrong things this morning. But Jesus said, pray two things. That the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into the harvest field. First of all, that word laborers, do you know it's the ordinary word for workers? The Lord wasn't looking to recruit specialists. He was just looking to recruit ordinary people. And the second thing is that the Lord of the harvest would send them out. That word send out is a strong word. Do you remember when it says in the Gospels that Jesus drove out demons with the word? It's the same word to drive out. It's the word ekbalo, and it's got this sense of not just to throw, but with an extra thrust to it. And so the disciples are asked to pray that the Lord would, with an extra thrust from heaven, throw out people into the harvest field. Now, I think that that's a wonderful prayer. I think that ordinary people who belong to Jesus need to recognize that God wants to use them. Are you ordinary this morning? God wants to use you. But we also need to recognize that most of us, there's a difference between our desire and the reality, that most of us have a desire-fear battle when it comes to sharing Jesus. There is a desire to do it, but there's a fear to do it. Yes? You're allowed to speak to me? Yes? You see, there's a desire to do it, isn't it? Because if we love Jesus, we want people to know about him. And most of us desire to tell people about him. But there's also a fear attached to it, isn't there? Because we think, well, you know, what will they say and how will they react? And what if they ask us a question we don't know the answer? And will the kingdom of God come crashing down if we don't know what the answer is? You understand? And we have this fear-desire battle. And I love this prayer of Jesus because what Jesus is saying is, pray that the Heavenly Father will give some thrust from heaven that mobilizes us. I don't know about you. I need a little bit more of heaven's thrust behind me sometimes. It's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? A little bit more of heaven's thrust behind us. But we want to pray. I mean, if you can't pray for yourself, pray for the person next to you. Lord, just put a bit more of heaven's thrust. Excuse me. I'm just getting over a viral infection, and so well, my voice is a bit funny. Yeah, just put a little bit more of heaven's thrust behind them, Lord. But you see, the issue is this, that it wasn't any old prayer that Jesus had told them to pray. It was this specific prayer. And what I mean by revelation is, that first of all, we ask that the love of Jesus would invade us. Secondly, we ask that Jesus would direct our prayers. So that when we're praying for people, Lord Jesus, would you direct the prayers? Would you direct what we pray for? Would you direct who we pray for? Again, not so long ago, I was praying and I was saying, Lord Jesus, is there someone you want me to pray for? And someone in another nation came to mind that we don't see very often at all. And it came so strong that I rang them up and I said, you know, you've just been on my heart. Is there anything I can pray for? And the wife answered and she said, well, my son Daniel, I'm going to see his teacher tonight and it's a very critical meeting. Would you pray? And I said, yes. And for a few days I prayed and then the burden lifted. 18 months later, it's the only two times that I've ever rung them. 18 months later, the same thing happens. Again, the burden's so strong that I ring them up and say, you know, Lord, you've been touching my heart. Is there anything I can pray for? And the lady said, it's remarkable. You rang 18 months ago. And that night, I was going to see my son's teacher, Daniel's teacher. It was a critical meeting. She said, tonight, I'm also going to see my son's teacher, Daniel's teacher. It's a critical meeting. The only two times that I'd ever run them. But you know, the Lord wanted her to know that what so concerned her also so concerned him, and he was on the case. Lord, would you direct our prayers? Just recently I was asking the Lord the same thing. This is the way that, forgive the illustrations, but I want you to know this isn't about meetings and it's not about ministry, it's about life, it's about who we are. And just recently, as I was praying and asking the Lord, was there anybody you want me to pray for? A couple came to mind. We barely see them once a year, if that. The Lord touched my heart, and as I asked him what I should pray for, I started to pray for a breakthrough at work. And eventually, the Lord gave me something to encourage them with, and I rang them, and I just said, you know, the Lord's been touching my heart for you, and I've been praying for you. And I've been praying specifically for... the husband's called Simon. I've been praying specifically for his work and that there'll be a breakthrough there, and gave them some stuff to encourage them. And then they said, we're in the middle of a 10-day of fasting for his work because it's so bad. And it was just so encouraging them to know that the Lord was on their case, and what concerned them concerned him. And I want to encourage you that first of all, you pray, may the Lord's love invade your heart and take over your prayers. And secondly, that Jesus will direct your prayers. And I was saying yesterday, you know, sometimes it's not as mysterious, super spiritual as it sounds. All of us have had the experience of starting to pray for something and then suddenly the Lord has taken over and we're praying for something other than we thought that we were praying for. Ask that Jesus takes over the direction of your prayers. So the first thing is compassion. The second thing in the story is revelation. Third thing in the story. Sometimes you get into the Bible, you know, you've got to imagine you are there. So just imagine for a minute that we're there and we're one of the disciples and Jesus calls us over and he says to us, I'm calling a prayer meeting. And we say, okay. And this is what I want you to pray. Lord of the harvest will ekbalo, extra thrust people out, laborers into the kingdom. And that's what we're going to pray for. Okay. And you can imagine we prayed, and I'd especially like to have been next door to Peter and listening to his prayers, because he was always over the top with everything, wasn't he? He's got the Lord picking people up and throwing them out into all the various parts of the world and all of the rest of it. Now, I don't know how long they prayed for, but I know that after a while, Jesus called them over. The break shouldn't be where the chapter break is. But Jesus called them over, and I think he said something like this. Guys, I've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. The good news is Heavenly Father's answered your prayer. And they were excited, and according to their backgrounds, they either said amen, hallelujah, or put their hands in the pocket and smiled. And then he said, the bad news is he's chosen you to go. And here's the third thing about prayer, it's this, it's submission. Submission. You see, they became the answer to their own prayers. The Puritans used to say this, the first law of intercession is availability. Say that for you again. The first law of intercession is availability. A while ago, I was to speak at this meeting, and I went in. Some of the ladies came to me a bit anxious, and they said, "Ken, we just need to tell you, there's three guys starting to come to our meetings. And when the meetings are over, they pick on folks, sometimes the young folks, sometimes the speaker. And they've obviously been reading books that picks hope in holes in the Bibles or Bible stories or Christian truth. And they ask all of these awkward questions. And they're in the meeting again tonight." And so I smiled and said, "Fine." So when the meeting was over, along they came to pick on the speaker for the evening, which was me. And they, after a while, going through some of their stuff, they said, "The problem with you Christians is that you just spiritualize everything. And that's your way of escaping facing reality." So I said, "Well, that's an interesting statement. Give me an illustration. What do you mean?" They said, "Well, you know, for instance, when you're going through a tough time, what you Christians do is you pray. And that's your way of spiritualizing something. You escape facing reality. We go shopping, or we drink, or we take drugs, or whatever it might be. That's our way of facing reality. You see, but you lot, you spiritualize it." So I looked at them and laughed. And I've got to say, I gave the wrong answer first, but I like it, so I'll tell you what it was before I gave them the right answer. I looked at them and laughed, and I said, "Actually, you got it totally wrong. But even on the basis of what you're saying," I said, "I still prefer our answers because it doesn't cost me any money. I come from Yorkshire. I don't have a hangover. I'm not going to have my body invaded with the wrong drugs. I can't get any sexually transmitted diseases and all the rest of it. I still think our deal is much better than your deal on anybody's basis." But I said, "Actually, you've misunderstood what the Bible and prayer is all about. You see, when Christians pray, it's not how we escape responsibility, it's how we face reality." You got that? It isn't how we escape responsibility. It is how we face reality. Knowing that God is big enough and saying we are available. And it's all through the Bible. It isn't just here. My favorite other story about this is Nehemiah. Do you remember how in chapter 1 he gets the news it's not good in Jerusalem? And so he starts to pray about it. That was his first mistake. If you don't want to get involved, just whatever you do, don't pray. I'm warning you. And he starts to pray and he says, "Hey, Lord, I've just heard about this stuff in Jerusalem and it's not really good. And you need to do something about Jerusalem." And he can see the Lord smiling and he says to him, "What a great prayer." And he says, "I've got just the man for the job." And Nehemiah says something like this. This is the extra Yorkshire bit, all right? He says something, "Oh, that's great, Lord. Who's that?" He said, "Well, his name's Nehemiah." He said, "Well, that's my name, Lord." And Lord said, "What a coincidence. And have you noticed that in chapter 1 he prays about it, chapter 2 he's on his way to Jerusalem, he got the job." And at a more profound level, Jesus on the cross says, "Father, forgive them." And the only way that Father could totally, totally, totally answer that prayer was Jesus had to stay on the cross. And he became the vehicle through which God answered one of the greatest prayers of all time that meets our greatest needs. And Jesus had to stay on the cross. And the story begins with the love of Jesus. And the story moves on to prayer that was motivated by that love and directed by Jesus' revelation. But it ends with a group of disciples who find that they became the answer to their own prayers. And that lying behind their prayers was this issue of availability. And so if the first word was compassion and the second word was revelation, the third word was submission. And I wonder this morning, if something like this was to take place. We've had that lovely young man going out on mission. If somebody was here and they were recruiting for missions and saying, we're looking for partners, that's one kind of thing. But you know, by the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is here this morning and he's saying, heaven's looking for partners that will join me, junior partners, very junior partners. He's a senior partner. But they'll join me with a passion and availability to see outbreaks of heaven take place in people's families, people's lives, people's streets, people's cities. Heaven is looking for partners. Let's stand. Let's pray. As we pray, there might be a family that you know is really struggling. There might be a friend. Might be somebody that you visit and you know that they're really struggling, and it might be a multiplicity of needs. I just want you to pause for a moment and pray that more of heaven will break out in their lives or in their homes. There might be a situation that concerns you. Just take a moment now to pray that there'll be a heavenly invasion take place into that arena that concerns you. And you know the need, so first of all, pray out of your own knowledge. You might know that there might need to be some wisdom, some forgiveness, some restoration, some family reconciliation. It might be some healing. It might just be grace to go through something. Just pray out of your natural knowledge. Ask for heaven's invasion. But then when you go home, take a moment to pray and say, Lord Jesus, when I pray for this again, may your love invade my prayers. Would you direct me what to pray? Just take a moment in your heart. Take this opportunity of being a partner with heaven to pray this kingdom to come more totally, fully, completely to invade their lives. And just as we stay in prayer, you know, you may be here this morning and you know that you don't know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. But something has been, you've been on a journey and something has touched you today. And you know that you want to know him. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And when the meeting's over, see Andrew or one of the leaders or the friend or whoever it was that you've come with or that you know. Just let them know that you prayed the prayer. They will help you. They won't embarrass you, but they will help you. Father, I lift those to you this morning that the desire of their heart is to come to a personal and saving knowledge of Jesus, the Savior and Lord and friend. I thank you that our Lord Jesus, above all, knows how to save, knows how to forgive, knows how to befriend. As they reach out to you, may our magnificent Lord Jesus reach down from heaven to them. May he bring the assurance of his presence. May he minister the reality of his forgiveness. May he fill them with the beauty of his Holy Spirit. May he minister new life from heaven to them, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. And just finally, before we sing our final song, Father, I pray over your dear people here. I ask that a greater sense of mobilization may take place. I pray for heaven's thrust behind each one. I pray that in the desire-fear battle, that more and more the desire will triumph over the fear. And that at a personal level, there will be a new flowing, a new momentum to personal witnessing and sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and the beauty of our Lord Jesus. May there be more momentum there. For your purpose for this place, may there be increased momentum, we ask, in the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't want anything that is simply at the push of people, but we want heaven's thrust and push behind us. And we ask that there be more of heaven's invasion in all of our lives. And I ask that week by week, as your people meet here, may heaven be invading earth. May the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the healing of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the grace of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, may that be falling on the people. May they fall ever more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. And as they do, may the overflow just touch so many other people around. And we ask you for this area, for Minehead. Pray that your people here would be instruments in seeing many, many, many come to know and love Jesus and have their lives transformed by him. We ask it together in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And all the people of God said, Amen. Stay standing. The church that I go to is mainly Afro-Caribbean. There's just six or eight of us who are pale faces. Everybody else has got wonderful skins. And they're a wonderful congregation to preach to. And one of my colleagues, when he preaches a good point, knows he's made a good point. And if we always give an amen when it's a good point, but if we don't give him a good enough amen, he will say, I'll say it again, now give me a really good amen. So I'm just going to pretend that I'm in my church, all right, so make me feel at home. And I'll give the opportunity to say the amen to the prayer again. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Do be seated.
If you'd like to leave a comment on today's sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And of course, you can always email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.